Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, all my cards on the table. I'm willing to admit that women are still a little bit of a mystery to me after 52 years of life and over 25 years of marriage. Still a little bit of mystery. But in particular, when it comes to young women and especially teenage women. So we have gone through that a little bit in our house. Our oldest daughter is 20 at this point. Our youngest daughter is 13. So haven't escaped the teen years yet. Then we have a son who's 17 and another son who's 22, about to turn 23. So understanding young teen ladies, not just from a parental standpoint, but from a psychological standpoint and a physical standpoint, a mental standpoint, and of course from a theological, biblical standpoint, is super important for obvious reasons, but not that easy. And so we went down this road a while ago, almost a year and a half ago, with Dr. Kristen Kellen, who returns to the show on Theology Thursday. She, of course, is a professor out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Christian Counseling and a Christian counselor herself, as well as a mother and a former teen girl. Kristen, yes. Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I feel good.
Why am I asking you that question in particular?
Because I'm five and a half months pregnant, and so sitting down is a good thing for me right now.
Yes, it's a very good thing, and a daughter on the way, right?
Yes.
So when you think about this, it's interesting, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about some things about teen girls. We're going to talk about development, that being physical, mental, spiritual. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about identity and relationships. That's the big deal. And then we're going to talk a little bit just about general parenting tips for moms and dads. And then we'll look at some of the challenging things, because there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression. I was just reading a study on CBS News' website talking about just this massive increase in suicidal thoughts and attempts and anxiety and depression amongst teens, and particularly in this case amongst young women. So there's a lot to talk about here. But you're kind of moving from as a parent and a counselor. So this is not just clinical. It's not just clients. It's part of your own life, too.
Right. And it will be. I will be walking down this road.
Yes, you will.
Inevitably.
Yes, inevitably. You can run, but you can't hide. So is this a pretty common thing that you deal with over your years of being a counselor, and obviously not just teaching, but counseling yourself? Challenges for young teenage women as well as their parents.
Yes. Yes. It's very, very common. I see a lot of families coming in, and I see all sorts of things in my counseling office, obviously, but more and more I'm seeing, because I'm a female counselor, seeing teenage girls, just the struggles that they deal with day in and day out in the world we live in, the culture we live in, with social media. That's a reality for us. It just creates all these extra kind of layers of difficulty.
And have you seen a big difference just in your counseling environment and in your experiences with them over, the last 10 years?
Yeah, I think as time goes on and as social media gets more influence, as just culture changes, we see a lot more kind of openness to, we need help in these areas. This is becoming a reality. I think we've also moved into the space of being more aware about mental illness and struggle, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
But that just brings more young ladies and a younger focus as well, starting early as opposed to waiting until adulthood and trying to react.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that it's happening earlier and earlier, which is a big indication of what's going on in our culture. But there's some basics that I think are important that we understand. And you sent me some really helpful things. And by the way, I'll share this as a document on the Facebook page a little bit later today. So if you want to join us on Facebook, and we're doing Facebook Live as always, just go to your Facebook. In the search box, just put Steve Noble Show, STEVE, obviously Noble, NOBLE Show, and you'll find us and you can join us there. But let's just talk about kind of the stage of development that young teen girls are in from a physical to a mental to a spiritual perspective.
Sure. So teenagers, male and female, but especially teenage girls, are in this space of immense change that's happening in all of these different realms. So physically, for instance, they go from looking like a little girl to a woman, and all of the physical changes that come along with that. But part of the struggle comes in when oftentimes their physical development advances before maybe their cognitive or their mental or their emotional development. And so there's this kind of disconnect of, I'm an adult, but I'm not thinking like an adult. I'm not emotionally behaving like an adult. And so we see some struggles coming into there. We do see, or I have observed, the earlier that a young woman matures physically, oftentimes there's even greater struggle because she's advancing further than her peers, or she's attracting older men, those sorts of things that she just isn't ready to handle emotionally and mentally coming into play there. But as far as mental development, too, we also see this shift in early to mid teenage years of moving from understanding kind of black and white concrete. There's either one of two options to now there's a spectrum. There's gray areas. There's abstract. And so as we see this kind of coming into play, now these young women are forced with, well, how do I reconcile these two things that don't seem to be reconcilable? Or how do I understand good versus evil and a spectrum in between?
Yeah.
So this struggle there that they're cognitively developing towards, but it's the first time they've ever been able to think through those things.
And I think as parents, it becomes obvious, and you'll experience this yourself, especially when they get to middle school, because that's about the right age range. You get middle school, and now you're starting to go in, okay, what's going on here? And then high school, when things, all the stakes go up even more. Back to the physical point, as a father, this is a real challenge. And fortunately, and I praise the Lord for it, when I really started to struggle with this, and how do I approach my 20-year-old daughter, who was a teenager at the time, as she's growing physically into a woman, the first guest I had when I did started doing the show on a daily basis was Dr. Dobson. And he had just written the book. He had written the book previously about raising boys and bringing up boys. And then he finally did the one on bringing up girls. And he was talking to me about, and I talked to him off the air during commercial breaks, about how awkward it was as a father to now start hugging my daughter who's starting to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
And he would call that the Leaning Tower of Pisa hug, which I'm like, oh, yeah, I know exactly. Because I'm not, yeah, this is weird. So I'm just going to kind of give you this, like, almost a right angle kind of hug between dad and daughter. And, you know, and the point he made in the book, and he made this to me privately off the air, was, hey, Steve, what you're telling your daughter is there's something wrong with her.
Mm-hmm. When she already feels awkward, probably.
Right. Right. So that's where this is so important, because you have to understand where they're at and what they're going through and how it affects how you react to them. So
right.
We'll talk about this. We'll talk about some parenting things as we keep going. But the mental development, obviously huge. What about spiritual development?
Yeah. I think that's really important for us, especially in the realm that we're in. Just this move towards, I want to make my faith my own and think through that. And how do I make it mine and not mom and dad's?
Right. Which is also a tough season. And you begin to realize as a parent, guess what? This young daughter of yours actually is an individual who has a specific and individual relationship with her maker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to kind of sit on the sidelines. We're going to pick it up there. We're talking to Dr. Kristen Kellen. It is Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Steve Noble Show. It is Thursday, so it's always Theology Thursday here on the show with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary here in North Carolina. By the way, we just redid the page that you can land on at Southeastern to find out all the different opportunities that you have. Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary is the largest seminary on the East Coast, one of the preeminent seminaries on the planet. And even though it's a Southern Baptist seminary, it doesn't matter if you're a Southern Baptist or not, because when you get to all the stuff online, there's all kinds of options. There's all kinds of classes you can take. There's free classes. There's paid certificate classes. You can start to pursue a degree, a master's level degree in the seminary. It's really amazing. So if you go to sebts.edu/radio, you're going to land on this page where all those options are right there in front of you. It's really cool. They just redid that page. So thanks to Sam Morris at Southeastern. But you can do that and find out all the different options you have online. I don't care if you're in Honolulu, Hawaii, where you're listening today, or San Francisco on K-Lite out there. K-Lite's in Honolulu, KDIA in San Francisco. Or maybe you're in Billings, Montana, or maybe you're in Indianapolis or Albuquerque, New Mexico, or Kansas City, Missouri, or maybe closer to home in Asheville, North Carolina. Those are all stations that we're on. A lot of that, Wilkins Radio, we just joined recently. And so you have options. You have access to all of that here at Southeastern Baptist. SEBTS.edu/ Radio. We're talking to Dr. Kristen Kellen today, who's it's always a great day on the show when we have Kristen in. It's just a wonderful Christian counselor and a professor and a wife and a mother herself with a baby on the way due in November, right? Mm-hmm. Your daughter's due in November. Talking today about a very challenging subject. If you've ever been a parent, you know this already, especially if you've had daughters. So teenagers, specifically teenage girls, we are talking about physical development, mental development, and spiritual development. We're going to talk about some of the challenges there. We're going to talk about just some general parenting tips and have some great questions coming in from Facebook Live. If you want to join us there, just search the Steve Noble Show on Facebook. But you were talking about spiritual development. This is so important and a big challenge for those of us that are serious about our faith is that they have to kind of develop that on their own and kind of finding their own way. So what's that like? And that can be a real challenge.
Right. So what I see that looking like, and part of this, honestly, I'm just drawing from working with youth at our church, is just asking questions and trying to wrestle with really hard things, right? The problem of evil, those sorts of things are coming up. But pushing back on this, I'm a Christian because mom and dad say I have to be, you know,
right.
And trying to say, no, I want to own this. And if I'm going to own it, I want to understand it. And so we see kind of these developments over time of, again, wrestling with the abstract versus the concrete, where that comes into play. But making this a part of her identity, because Christianity, right, it demands that our identity is now outside of ourselves. It's right. In Christ, not ourselves. And so helping her wrestle through, what does it mean for me to be a believer and me to be a Christ follower, not just follow my mom and dad?
Yeah, and I think that's a challenge for us as parents because mm-hmm. we desperately want to see them walking with the Lord. But last time I checked, you're not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the Holy Spirit. And we don't control that stuff. And I think we have to be very careful because if we push too hard, if we drive too hard, don't we oftentimes, Kristen, have the opposite effect?
Right, right. We might create little Pharisees, which isn't a relationship with Jesus.
No.
So we have to be careful that we're not pushing for moralism, but we're pushing for a relationship and giving them space. But I know we're going to get to some practical parenting tips later, but we don't have to, as parents, be afraid of our kids questioning. Yeah. We can answer those questions, trust the Lord and his sovereignty in that, trust the Holy Spirit working, and give them space to do that. The yeah. Lord loves their child more than they love
Amen.
Their child.
That's a great point. Yeah, space and time, we don't control that, mm-hmm. and so we need to leave that. In the Lord's hands. And then you have a note here as we're working through this about not approaching young women with cynicism that they are only products of hormones and emotions. They're in desperate need of the gospel as we are as adults and are still culpable for their actions. Because oftentimes you kind of assume the worst. Like our younger daughter sitting there going, I'm afraid of going crazy when I'm a teenager because that's just kind of assumed.
Right.
And then do we sometimes risk the putting that on them when they haven't really even shown up there yet?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I think part of this is our cultural assumption of kind of a disease model. We're just bodies, right? And hormones are real. We'll put that out there.
I'm trusting you on that.
It's real. But it's not an excuse for a lack of personal responsibility. And so I think we have to walk this very carefully of there may be influences there, hormonal, bodily changes, cognitive changes, but she's still responsible. And this idea from Luke 6 that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If she's speaking something, it's in her heart,
yeah.
As it with all of us. But we are all across the board sinners in need of grace. So approaching it from that perspective, but we're all personally responsible as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned the word identity, and I think this is a huge issue for teenage girls and for many different reasons. So let's kind of jump into that. And issues of identity, then we'll talk about relationships as well. But let's start with identity.
Right. So we see this kind of shift, and I think any parent of a teenager has seen this shift of where a young woman begins to place her identity in that of her peers, right? That what my friends think of me, that's who I am, or at least that I have a desire to be what they think I am. And we see this huge shift, and that can certainly be a point of frustration with parents.
Sure.
But we see this coming into play because especially young women value relationships. They value what other people think of them, the cultural standards that are frankly impossible to meet. And so all of these things are kind of going on in her head of who am I? Who do I want to be? Who do others think that I am? And trying to wrestle with that. Now, for those who are believers and want to pursue Christ, then that becomes competing, right? Who does Christ declare that I am versus who is culture telling me that I should be? And culture, the messages from our culture are absurd in many ways. So this whole idea of identity coming into play, especially now, we see a lot of that as far as gender and gender
yep.
fluidity.
Yep.
maybe coming into play there of who am I can be, who I want to be, just makes this so complex for a young woman and confusing in many ways for a young
woman.
Have
you seen this as a counselor? Have you seen this get a lot more challenging and cause a lot more trouble because of social media and comparison?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Social media, the media in general, television. I mean, we don't see TV ads with ugly women, right?
Right.
They kind of fit a mold. And so that conveys this message of this is who you should be. And then social media, certainly shaming certain body images, even affirming gender fluidity coming into play, cyberbullying. It's a lot going on for them.
So could we, as parents, could we generally say to this situation, and I'm skipping over to a parenting tip part here, but the more your teenage daughter's looking at her phone, the more trouble there is lurking.
The more potential for trouble there is. Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And that's a sticky subject. We can get into that. But yes, because these influences are going to speak louder and louder to her as she goes through her teenage years. And as parents, we can't control a lot of what they see. They're going to get those influences. But if those influences are secular, if they are giving wrong messages to her, hurtful messages to her, or shameful messages to her, that's detrimental. Now, we can't live in a bubble, but I think helping our teenagers think through how do we discern what's good and what's bad, what's helpful, what's not helpful, what's God-honoring, what's not God-honoring, and teaching them those sorts of skills. But yes, absolutely, the potential for influence goes up the more that we allow that influence in.
Yeah. Right? And then in terms of identity, you mentioned this as well, that there's a lot of different categories. So when we come up, we'll talk about that because you've got a daughter, you got a sibling, you got a friend, a classroom, and then, of course, at church where you can see all kinds of crazy duplicity. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about relationships and then some general tips. And eventually we'll talk about some of the bigger challenges, anxiety and depression. This is Steve Noble. It is Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern, which means that's why Dr. Kristen Kellen is here as a excellent Christian counselor and professor at the seminary. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. By the way, yesterday, right near the end of the show, I mentioned something on the air that we just kind of started yesterday that there was a great response to it, and a bunch of people jumped on the Daily Dose devotional list that we mail out every morning. I just started in the book of Proverbs last week, so it's 5 days a week. We're just like Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5 or 6 earlier today. And looking through it, I'll probably do, I would guess, 5 or 6, maybe as much as 7 daily devotionals out of each chapter of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters of Proverbs. So we're going to be in there for a while, probably till around Thanksgiving time. So it's so rich. I'm really enjoying digging into that myself. I usually, you'll figure this out if you start reading them. You're like, I wonder if Steve's writing this for himself. Yes, that's typically what happens when you get in the scriptures and the Holy Spirit is teaching you and showing you. But it's just a great response. People are really blessed by that. God's done an awesome thing. All you need to do is text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866, and you'll get a little thank you and a little reply, and then we'll get you right on the list. You'll start getting those tomorrow morning. Just text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866. You'll start getting the Daily Dose devotionals. Just started in the book of Proverbs. Talking to Dr. Kristen Kellen today, who's a professor here at Southeastern Baptist in North Carolina at the seminary and a Christian counselor herself. Talking about teen girls, which is a very difficult subject, and there's a lot to it. And if you've had daughters, if you've had them, they've grown up, or if you have them right now, or they're a lot younger than that, you can definitely relate to this. And so as we're moving through this, we're talking about just some of the realities of where they're at in their lives and talking about identity, which is a big deal. And I mentioned before the break, Kristen, they have multiple identities that really they're trying to figure out. This is definitely a work in progress
right.
in the teen years.
Right, absolutely.
So does that cause a lot of challenges for teen girls because they play all these different roles?
It can. And so for any of us, we have lots of different identities, right? I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm a sister in Christ. So we all have these different identities that are coming into play. But for a teenage girl, or especially in the younger teens, for most of her life, she's only really thought about I'm a daughter, right? Really.
Yeah.
Or I'm a sister.
Yeah.
And so those have been with her since birth. She understands those. But now as she comes into this, okay, well, now who am I with my friends? Who am I at church? Who am I in front of my parents? Sometimes those compete with one another, right? We could probably all remember arguments where a kid acts different with her friends, and then in front of her parents, she gets embarrassed,
yeah,
or, you know, those sorts of things. That's those identities in competition with one another. And so helping her think through, at the end of the day, who am I? Who do I want to be? Who am I really? When I'm alone before God, who am I? And just helping her kind of navigate some of those things.
And if you're putting on a lot of different masks, life is not going to go well
for
you. No,
it's not. It's going to be messy.
Yeah.
Upholding all of those is going to be hard.
Like on radio, people will ask me, are you the same? And they'll literally say it this way. Are you the same in real life as you are on the radio? And I tell them, yes,
yes.
I'm exactly the same, and which is why radio is not difficult for me and why you should pray for my family. But that's a challenge. If all of a sudden, especially teen girls, they're putting on a bunch of different identities, that's trouble. That's a minefield, it would appear.
It is. It is. And especially if they have different friend groups that they're putting on different identities with different friends, it even gets more tricky.
Yeah. Now, what about relationship with parents? And we'll get into some kind of parenting tips 101 as we deal with our teen daughters, and also split that up between dads and moms, because we tend to handle things differently, in case you hadn't noticed that. But talk about that a little bit. What are teen girls experiencing as they are working on their relationships with their parents during these tumultuous times?
Right. So, and we talked about this new identity kind of feature coming in of who am I with my peers. That is going to have a greater level of authority as time goes on, generally speaking. But when that increases, that I'm placing my identity in my peers increases, it decreases my identity as in my family. And so we kind of see this shift. Well, parents, that can create some bumps in the road, right? Because paired with that is going to be this push for independence. I want to be my own person. I want to make my own decisions. And parents want to push back and say, no, you're not ready. Probably rightly so. You're not ready. And we just see some conflict coming into play there as she views her maturity level different than they maybe view her maturity level.
Well, since you brought that up, Talia on Facebook Live has three daughters and asked the question, you know, walking the tightrope of setting mm-hmm. boundaries and allowing greater responsibility and independence, which is part of growing up. And that's God's design.
Yes.
Because as your kids get older in their teen years, you'll notice that they're kind of like 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag, and it's just not fitting in your house anymore. They know it. You know it. Sometimes that's more obnoxious than others, but that's kind of the direction we're supposed to be moving in. So how do we balance that with our teenage daughters?
You know, I think this is such a complex thing, because at the end of the day, our responsibility as parents is to teach, to discipline, to direct, to protect. And so we have to be able to walk this boundary well. And yet, how are children going to learn if they aren't allowed to make mistakes, right? That's how we learn the best, is when things fail, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Experientially. And so probably one of the best guidelines I would give there is that every child is different. So if you have a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old, don't assume that they're at the same place at the same time in their lives.
So important.
Every child is different, and that's okay. You don't have to justify that. Think about issues of safety, right? Is it safe for my child to have this curfew? Is it safe for them to be around these people? If the answer is no, then there's your hard and fast boundary.
Yeah.
Now, we don't need to be afraid of every little potential
thing.
Right,
we haven't been given a spirit of fear.
Right,
but
right.
Love, power, and a sound mind.
Yes, and using wisdom, seeking the Lord, and even the little decisions. But in all of that, having clear conversations with their daughter, here is why we think this is not wise. You may not understand it, but we as your parents have the responsibility before God to do these things. And sometimes you'll make good decisions, sometimes you won't.
Sure.
And that's okay. But setting boundaries to keep them safe, to help protect them, is a hard and fast in my book.
Yeah.
That's a delegated responsibility from the Lord. But then also trusting in his sovereignty. And I know I joked during the break, we probably don't have a hard and fast answer here.
Right. I wish we did.
And the other thing I would add here as well is making sure that mom and dad are unified in those decisions, that if they disagree, they handle those disagreements, but then they're unified together. So she's not asking mom one thing and getting a different answer from dad or vice versa.
And then don't we have to be honest with ourselves that our kids, as much as we love them and they might be doing well at any given time, actually have the potential to play us against each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because
my
last time I checked,
they're
dirty little sinners too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My 2-year-old does that. He knows who to go to for what. And usually it's me. I'll admit that. But having a rule, if mom says no, then dad's answer is no as well. if dad says no, same thing, and we'll talk about it in private. But being unified, and that will help tremendously. Yeah.
Now, talking about moms and dads, just generally, and I'm sure you see this a lot in counseling, a father's interaction with his teen daughter versus a mother's interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's conversations that I don't want to have, and there's conversations she didn't want to have with me, and I understand that, but I also think we tend to have very different approaches.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you kind of discovered and been able to help people with in terms of dealing with fathers and daughters versus mothers and daughters?
Right. Well, I'm smiling because in many ways, every situation is different. So there are some commonalities among dads or among moms, but I've seen, you know, families where the daughter is very close to dad and doesn't want to deal with mom, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And so some of it just depends on family dynamics. Certainly there are topics that mom should handle with daughter, right?
Sure.
Rather than dad, unless that's not a possibility, if he's a single parent. But generally speaking, what's the dynamic there? Who is she more responsive to and why? Both hold authority. We don't want to compromise that. But if she's more receptive to one over the other, lean towards that. I do tend to see that men are more black and white, concrete. Here's the way it is. There's a place for that. Moms are oftentimes, commonly, well, let's think through this. Let's think through the options, the emotions, the implications, all of that. Generally,
yeah.
Those can certainly flip-flop. But what are the strengths of that family and each parent? Kind of approaching it from there.
And especially with relationships and identity and then dating and romantic relationships, does a dad have a responsibility to be the number one man in his daughter's life? Because that's, I mean, I'm talking my own mantra here. That's
right, right, right. You know, I think we could make the case biblically that a son and a daughter is under his parents and should honor his mother and father until they are united with their wife,
yeah,
right?
And cleave, right?
Now, there's obviously some practical boundaries to that. But yes, her parents are her authority, especially if she's still in their home, under their roof, their responsibility. Yes. Yes.
Is there any hard and fast? This is, and I've done whole shows on this, and I need to do another one because it's so much fun because I love discomfort. But talking about teen daughters and dating. Do people ask Christian counselors for advice on that one? I would imagine that probably comes up.
Sometimes, yes.
Yes. I'm painting you into a corner.
No. It's yes, I do get questions about that. And it's hard to answer too, because I may see a 14-year-old with great maturity, and I may see an 18-year-old that is acting like a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
So it's even hard to give you.
Yeah. But I would imagine the caution flag goes up.
Yes.
Nevertheless.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because we're talking about being safe, and we're talking about handling things when you're capable of handling things.
Right.
And what each family does, but that's a tough one, and that's why you need help. We're going to keep talking about that you definitely shouldn't try to do all this all on your own. We're going to talk about some challenging things when we come back. Anxiety and depression, all too common in today's teenage girls. With Dr. Kristen Kellen, this is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, as it is every week, with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and all kinds of things that you can access at the seminary online, and some free classes and some certificate classes. Just some great opportunities there to go deeper. I had taught adult Sunday school for 5 years. I thought I was pretty wise and pretty knowledgeable in the scriptures. And then when I started working on my master's degree here in Christian ethics and started to take classes at this level, I was like, holy cow, I'm stupid. But the professors were great. And there really is Paul called it the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you can experience that in the classroom and even online and taking some of the free classes at Southeastern. For example, Dr. Aiken, who's on once a month during the regular school year, he'll return to the show pretty soon. He teaches a class on hermeneutics, which sounds like confusing and like there's something wrong with your stomach. But hermeneutics is really just how do you properly study and understand the scripture and all the different things you take into account. And that's available as a free class online that you can do at your own pace. So you can access all of that stuff. Really, really tremendous opportunities there. SEBTS.edu/radio, and you'll land on that page with all that information. Talking to Dr. Kristen Kellen today about a challenging subject, especially if you've been down this road or perhaps are traveling it right now with young teen girls, teen women, and what they're going through and the challenges there. Two biggies that show up all over the place. I kind of led off with an article from CBS News, their website, about increased rates and suicidal thoughts and attempts and anxiety and depression. This is a big deal amongst teen girls. It's getting worse. And so let's start with the anxiety. I just want to try to get the 101s. What is anxiety? How do we tell that's going on? And then depression, because sometimes we confuse them. But let's start with anxiety. And is this as big of a problem as we all assume it is?
You know, I think it is a significant problem, although we tend to throw those words around kind of loosely.
Yeah.
So I think we need to balance it. But anxiety is essentially the state of excessive worry. Now, that may be a disproportionate in extreme. I'm worrying too much about something I don't need to, or excessive amount of time, too long about something. But in the midst of that, we see almost this intrusiveness of I can't control these thoughts and it's consuming me. Coming into play there. Now, the anxiety is not just a thought thing. Sometimes it manifests itself physically with headaches or GI issues or panic attacks or restlessness or all these sorts of things because we are body and soul, right? Mm-hmm. These things manifest physically and non-physically. But part of this is tied to development that we were talking about, that these emotions are new. The emotional centers in the brain are ramping up, if you will, but yet the emotional control centers in the brain aren't fully developed. And so we have these extra stresses, these extra worries and pressures coming into play, and we're just not equipped to handle all of that sometimes.
It's important for us as parents, Kristen, to recognize and understand and embrace the physical realities that are there.
Absolutely.
That the machine at that time is off kilter.
Right.
And that's just part of the development process. And to assume that you just need to get over it, quite literally, they can't for some period of time because of the uneven development of what you're talking about.
Right. We may have had decades of learning how to deal with stress, and my threshold may be at 100, and their threshold may be at a 10.
Yeah.
So I can't even assume that they should be able to meet my threshold when I've had decades of experience more than them.
How would we typically kind of see anxiety as showing up as a problem in our teenage daughter?
In teenagers, again, this kind of excessive thoughts, these thought patterns, and then those thought patterns almost make them not shut down, but just the functioning goes down of I can't focus and I can't do what I need to do because I'm consumed with these thoughts.
Yeah.
And sometimes the panic attacks that kind of come along with that. It's hard to breathe. I can't shut out noise, those sorts of things.
And we'll talk about treatment and encouragement and our role in all that in a second. But let's talk about depression next. What is it? How do we define it? And how do we kind of know what's going on?
Right. So it's important for us to remember that depression is not just a sadness or a hopelessness. That's certainly part of it. This overall kind of, I hear it described as like a cloud that's descended and I just can't push through a cloud or a fog. But oftentimes, especially with younger people, it comes with things like irritability or hostility or isolation. Just this, I'm consumed with this fog or this cloud, and it's hard for me to even push through and think clearly. Kind of this struggle in thinking.
So it's more of an atmospheric kind of thing. It's all encompassing.
Right.
I suppose the anxiety oftentimes has more of a sharp focus.
Right. Okay. Absolutely. But both of them, yes, both of them, though, impact thinking. Both of them impact functioning levels and the body, right? Depression, we may see either extreme of eating too much or not eating enough, sleeping too much or not sleeping at all. So there's certainly physical components to both of them as well.
So let's start first with what we can do as parents, and then we'll talk about partnering with somebody like you and a Christian counselor. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about the other subject, kind of the elephant in the room that makes people uncomfortable, is medication. But let's start with our role as parents. What can we do if our daughters are struggling with anxiety and or depression?
Right. First and foremost, I would say don't discount the reality of her emotions. Mm-hmm. So even if you think she's exaggerating or she shouldn't be feeling this way, okay, fine, but she is. The reality is that she is feeling that way. And so acknowledging that and affirming the reality of that. And in doing so, helping her understand that you care about her, you care about her emotions and how she's feeling, and you want to help her in any way that you can. Now, again, we've talked about not relieving personal responsibility. There's a choice level at some component
here.
Sure. But it's more than just a buck up. You got this. And unfortunately, I see that approach from parents sometimes. So I just want to encourage parents, take it seriously. Get someone who's trained in this to step in and speak into it. If it's significant enough, talk to a counselor, ideally a Christian counselor, who can walk with them and process those thoughts, process those stresses, and help them.
Should we look to getting in contact with somebody like you sooner rather than later?
Ideally.
I think we've come a long way with that. I used to be very hard-hearted about Christian counselors and needing help, love Jesus more, study the Bible more, and even medication. I'm not like that anymore. But I think we have to be willing to go get some help sooner as opposed to later. And it's not like the Scarlet Letter.
Right. It's not. It doesn't need to be a stigma, right? And so, yes, I think we need to acknowledge these things early on, especially earlier in life, because if these things go on untreated, they simply get reinforced in her life.
Yeah.
And so when she gets into her 20s or 30s, this is the way she's learned for a decade now how to cope with things. Mm-hmm. So you want to catch these early, teach new strategies, help understand what level of choice she may have. But maybe what is the level of the bodily contribution there that we may need to talk about medication or diet change or sleeping schedules or those sorts of things to hit both body and soul.
How do you kind of explain your role to a mom, or if it's a couple, a mom and a dad, or if it's a single parent? How do you explain your role in that process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I am part of a care team. I am not the one that they can come in and I snap my fingers and it's over and it's done. These problems didn't develop overnight. They're not going to be solved overnight. But I want to facilitate and help the teenager kind of understand where they are, why they're at where they are, and move forward, make good choices moving forward. But then the parents, how do I parent well and love them well and care for my child well?
Yeah. And that's been, and we've had some interaction with Christian counselors, and that's where it's, you know, wisdom comes through a multitude of counselors. And if you don't do it, if you're not getting help and you're all on your own, you just have to face the fact you don't have all the answers, you don't have all the ability, and you can't do it on your own, and God didn't design us to do it on our own. What about medication? I know that's a tough subject for a lot of us.
Sure. So I want to be careful how I approach this. I think medication can be helpful in certain circumstances, and I think we need to use wisdom as to when those are. So that's very, very, very rarely is that an early on conversation of medication. However, there is this reality that our bodies are broken, our brains are broken. And so sometimes that can have a pretty significant impact on someone's mental health status. So if I'm seeing things like an inability to function or get out of bed or feed oneself or even think clearly so that we can't even do any sort of counseling
work. Functionality is a big deal.
Gone. Right. Also, if I see suicidal thoughts and ideations that are intrusive and hard to control, I want to get somebody else involved as well in that care team. So a psychiatrist or a doctor, getting someone else involved to help with that, because that's serious.
And a Christian counselor or a secular counselor doesn't prescribe medication.
Correct. So no non-physician can prescribe medication.
What about short-term versus long-term? I've had another friend that does crisis counseling for corporations, and we met. This is the first time I even did a show on it. This is probably 5 or 6 years ago. And he was describing to me the use of medications, depression, anxiety. And to me, it almost sounded like triage. Okay, we gotta stop the bleeding so that then we can start to work on long-term solutions. But is there a case where it should be short-term? And then sometimes can our bodies and our minds be so broken that it's a long-term reality of our lives?
It can be, and every person is different, depending on the severity. So I like that you use the word triage. I like to think of medication like a Band-Aid, right? If I scratch my arm, the Band-Aid isn't healing, but it may be stabilizing the environment for a season for a purpose. So we may want to think through that. Now, the complexity comes in with teenagers because their bodies and brains are still developing, and we're introducing an outside substance.
Yeah.
To think through that clearly and carefully. But there may be a place for that, either short-term, either long-term. Generally, my thought is not permanent, unless it's a severe, I mean, if someone is dealing with schizophrenia, we're going to be long-term.
Absolutely. Final word of encouragement for us parents out there with teenage daughters, and your day is coming, Kristen.
God is good, and he is sovereign over it.
Yeah, amen. And it's important to remember that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes we have such a short shelf life, and we want everything to be gone.
Right.
We know that suffering's good for us, but we're still not interested in it. And it's hard to kind of put all of your eggs in God's basket and Jesus' basket. Trust him with it, but you can. Dr. Kristen Callen, always great to have you on. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And friends, make sure you share this one. You can share the podcast. It'll be up later tonight or first thing in the morning at thestevenobleshow.com. The Facebook Live is always there, so just go to Facebook in the search box, put Steve Noble Show, and you can find it there. That stays on the page. And if you want to join us in our little journey through Proverbs, text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866. 66866, the word dose. This is Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.